This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
As we begin this week's episode of the Baltimore Sports Free For All, we would like to send our condolences out to the ESPN family and also the family of John Saunders, who passed away at the age of 61 on Wednesday. It was quite shocking and surprising in the sports broadcasting world. We want to send our thoughts and prayers out to everyone involved with him, his family, longtime ESPN sports anchor, host of the Sports Reporters for the longest time. He will be missed.
Yeah, and another quick note about John Saunders for those of you who listen to the Baltimore Sports Free For All. John Saunders, before he became an ESPN legend, of course, spent many years up in Canada and parts of Ontario and parts of New Brunswick as a sports reporter. And then in 1982, Ray came to Baltimore as a main sports anchor to WMAR-TV from 1982 to 1986. Last couple of years, during that time, the Orioles were relevant in the sports world in terms of dominance and being a World Series champion. And those years of being a part of that culture elevated John Saunders to a prime position in ESPN, which lasted over 30 years. And another thing about it, I'll say this, Saturdays on game day, college football will never be the same.
It will not, and we're waiting on more details about what has happened, because it all happened suddenly. But as of right now, rest in peace, John Saunders. You will definitely be missed. This is another edition of the Baltimore Sports Free For All, and as of right now, the Baltimore Orioles are floundering in terms of offense. I mean, where is it? I'm not seeing it anywhere. They're scoring 3 runs a game, so to speak. That's exactly how it is. And I want 50% off my pizza, Josh.
I want 50% off my pizza, too. Heck, I want 50% off of most things in life. I mean, I'm sure Kevin Gausman would like 50% of the runs given up back. Maybe he'd have a couple more wins here and there. Or maybe 50% more runs and run support that he would have had in several starts. But I digress.
You're making my head hurt.
I'm sorry with all the 50%. You just started it.
Well, I mean, it's the fact that I just wanted pizza, but then you just went all and went statistic on me. So I'm just trying to, like, you know, process everything that was happening right now. But so what you're saying is that if Kevin Gausman could turn back time, he would give up 50% of the runs that he's give. He would. Okay, now I'm doing
it. If he could turn back time, if he could find a way. All right, I'm not gonna go there.
Well, going back to what the Orioles' offense, yes, they're not good right now, and you're looking at some of the averages since the All-Star break. You're looking in the 100s, well below the Mendoza line for a lot of guys that were at one point high up on the list. Mark Trumbo, I mean, good grief, that guy has always struggled in the second half. That's always been his thing. Is, you know, he's been a big first half guy, and the second half kind of struggles with it. Then Chris Davis as well. Oof. Yeah. Not good. Weeters, not good. There's Pedro Alvarez is going to be one shining spot that he's been kind of turning it up lately, but everybody else, it's been putrid all around.
Yeah, I mean, we'll mention the guys that hit good this week, but yeah, as far as Mark Trumbo goes, as far as Chris Davis goes, Mark Trumbo batting 158 in his last 6 games. In his last 7 games, Chris Davis, Ray, is not even batting his wife's weight, .095.
I guess it's a safe assumption to make is that
.95. You did have that look on your face for a second. You're like, well, maybe, because, you know, think about it this way. She's probably, what, 5'6", 5'7". So, you know, that's a little bit
underweight.
That's a little bit underweight, yeah.
I would have laughed if you would have said, yeah, he's not even batting his girlfriend's weight. He's batting .196. I'm like, good grief, she's huge.
Yeah, that would have been so bad. And, of course, we probably would have had some angry comments at that. But needless to say, there are plenty of angry comments to go around for the Orioles' lack of play, at least in the last couple days, as they're on the West Coast trip in Oakland as of Wednesday, 10:45 p.m. Eastern time, because I'm surely we'll be getting to bed as soon as we're done doing some episodes of the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All. But
West Coast games, I've always hated them, running them on the network and everything else that was happening, you know, especially if they went to extra innings, especially if there was a rain delay, you wouldn't get out of there until like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Drinking plenty of coffee, I'm sure.
Well, there was that. I drank plenty of soda, too, so that was something that I got myself into. And late-night pizza, ice cream, just some things you got to do to keep your energy level up. That's these West Coast games, they are a chore.
Yep. And going back in time when the Orioles were winning several series here and there, let's go back to Tuesday, August 2nd, winning the first game of the Texas Rangers series at home, 5-1. Bundy was your winner, improving to 4-3. Yu Darvish, the loser, at 2-3. Darren O'Day collecting the save, his third of the year. Wednesday, August 3rd, Orioles win 3-2. Kevin Gausman was your winner, going to 3-8. Cole Hamels, the loser, at 12-3. And Zach Britton getting his 33rd save of the season. Then Thursday, August 4th, the Orioles unfortunately could not pull off the sweep against the Rangers, losing 5-3. Griffin was your winner, improving to 5-1. Wade Miley, the newest Orioles left-hander in the rotation, taking a loss, going to 7-9. And then Dyson getting a 23rd save of the season. Now, Friday, August 5th, Orioles win 7-5 in an offensive slugfest. Gallardo was your winner. Yovani Gallardo, I should say. I'm not used to saying Yovani Gallardo in the win column because it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen much because he's been pitching 5 innings, 5 2/3, and usually by that time either he loses the lead by one run or has the game tied more times than not. But yeah, Yovani Gallardo collected the win, improving to 4-3. And 2-6, I think this is Miguel Gonzalez that pitched. And yep, I stand corrected. Miguel Gonzalez taking the loss for the Chicago White Sox, going 2-6. Zach Britton getting the 34th save of the season. And Saturday, August 6th, Orioles losing a tough one, 4-2 to the Chicago White Sox. Jones, the winner, at 5-2. Chris Tillman, the loser, at 14-4. And Robertson getting the 27th save of the season for the White Sox. Now, Sunday, August the 7th, folks, just savor this because this is probably the last great game we could remember of the Orioles for at least the next couple of days. Unless they go on a win streak against the Oakland Athletics and the San Francisco Giants for the remainder of the week, this is all you have right now. Orioles win 10-2. Dylan Bundy was your winner, going to 5-3. Shields, the loser, at 3-7. Ubaldo Jimenez getting the rare three-inning save for the Baltimore Orioles. And what was remarkable about this game, Ray? Three home runs in the first three innings by number 13, Manny Machado. The first time a player has done that since 1930, Carl Reynolds. That is quite a long time there.
Yes, first three home runs, the first three innings. Machado was in fuego, and he continued it the next night.
Yeah, and by the way, the first Oriole to get three home runs and seven RBIs in a game since Cal Ripken in 1996.
That's some good company to have.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're Manny Machado and you're playing both shortstop and third base.
Yeah, absolutely. Carl, you have Cal Ripken, who is a big Orioles legend, big Baltimore legend, and not to mention you have Carl Reynolds, who is the great-great-grandfather of Mark Reynolds and Harold Reynolds. Wait, no, that part might be wrong. I take that back. I'm sorry. Anyways, getting back from the bad jokes to the bad games by the offense here. Monday, August the 8th, the Orioles lose 3-2 to the Oakland Athletics. Graben was your winner, improving to 8-7. Kevin Gausman taking a tough loss for the Orioles, going to 3-9. Madsen getting his 23rd save of the season. And Tuesday, August 9th, the offensive woes continue for the Orioles as they lose 2-1 to the Oakland Athletics. Neal was your winner, improving to 2-1. Wade Miley taking his second loss as a Baltimore Oriole and going 7-10 overall on the season. Madsen getting a 24th save of the season. Now, as a recording of this podcast, the Orioles are currently in the progress of playing the third game against Oakland Athletics. Thursday, August 11th, they have a 3:35 game against the Athletics. And then Friday through Sunday, August 12th through August the 14th, they take on the San Francisco Giants in a three-game weekend series before taking a day off on Monday and then taking a two-game series at home against the Boston Red Sox, which is surely pivotal because as far as we are concerned, as far as you and I are concerned, because I'm sure you'll agree with this, there are only three teams available right now in the AL East race: the Boston Red Sox, the Baltimore Orioles, and the Toronto Blue Jays. We can pretty much take the Yankees out of the equation since everybody.
Are you kidding? Everybody's out of the equation for the Yankees. Mark Teixeira, Alex Rodriguez. You trade Aroldis Chapman. They are definitely in rebuilding mode. They're not going to be good for at least 2 years, Josh.
Don't forget Andrew Miller, too. Trading him as well.
Yeah, they are trying to get all of those big contracts that George approved off the books.
Okay, real quick before we get into the stats of the week and all that stuff, your thoughts on Mark Teixeira's retirement. Is this a case of... I have never seen a more sorry press conference in my life for a guy who just wants the farewell tour so bad. I mean, in the Hall of Very Good, Mark Teixeira is that guy, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
Well, he was one of the key difference makers in how they actually won a world championship. There are 20
Yeah, sold our other guys, too.
Yeah, he was the one difference maker that they got right there, but everybody in Baltimore remembers how he stiffed them twice, going to the Atlanta Braves at first, and then everybody's like, oh, well, he can sign here. He's not signing here, guys.
Yeah.
Mark Teixeira was, at the time, an elite player, and he was wanting to be on a good team. He chose the devil. He chose the Yankees, so to speak, for Baltimore Orioles fans, and that rubbed people the wrong way. They were booing him, and everybody else was going on. And looking at Mark Teixeira, put up some decent numbers for the New York Yankees and also was a difference maker in how they won a World Series.
But Father Time has hit him big time.
It really has. He's been struggling. Alex Rodriguez, of course, struggling mightily and forced them both into retirement. And yeah, you were thinking to yourself, okay, farewell tour for Mark Teixeira. Is he that kind of a draw for the New York Yankees? Because you know this team is in rebuilding mode. The fans know that team is in rebuilding mode. You look at the market, the sports market that New York is, and fans right there aren't stupid. They're going to be like, well, a lot of fans are stupid, but some of those fans are not stupid. They were, you know, they'll know that this is a rebuilding year for the New York Yankees, and even next year is a rebuilding year. So you need something to draw, and you would think maybe Mark Teixeira could be that kind of guy, and maybe not. And then you go to move on to Alex Rodriguez, who they just forced him out the door and say, here, be like a role model, mentor, or something like that. Just go. We don't want you here anymore.
I would say this. A-Rod is your tragic figure in a Shakespeare novel. He's somebody who started off as someone that was supposed to be a savior of his profession. We remember him coming up through the Seattle Mariners, and he was supposed to be the next Cal Ripken, but with more power. And even at the time, him and Derek Jeter were looking up to Cal Ripken at the time, and we were thinking, well, if there was an era to baseball in the next several years, A-Rod can be that guy. And then next thing you know, he took the $300 million contract with the Texas Rangers and then got out of Arlington as fast as anything and went to New York. And I guess you could say, yeah, he did get a World Series, but he made his bet and lied in it at the end of the day.
Alex Rodriguez bankrupted a team.
He did.
The Texas Rangers went bankrupt because of him.
Yes.
And his contract, his gigantic $300 million contract, which when he signed it at the time, everyone was like, oh my God, what the hell is going on here? And I remember when he was leaving there to Arlington, you see when he went back to Seattle, everybody's got like dollar bills on a fishing pole. Like, here you go, A-Rod. You want it? One thing, though, that I do remember about Alex Rodriguez that is actually a good thing that people can remember about Alex Rodriguez in terms of Baltimore Orioles fans was in Cal Ripken's last All-Star game in 2001, Rodriguez gave up shortstop so that Cal could play shortstop instead of third base in his final All-Star game. Then he hit the infamous home run in his first at-bat, and the rest was history. It was Alex Rodriguez who gave up that position to Cal, and that was allowed him to play shortstop, a position that he was known for the longest time before moving to third base.
And that was probably one of the last honorable things that A-Rod did as a player before becoming the big money contract player that he is. I will say this, if there is a silver lining here, let's be glad that he is not going to hit 700 home runs or tie Babe Ruth, for that matter. We'll just put it that way.
You're glad because?
Well, I think, you know, I will say this. The Yankees are on the good side of this because they're like, you know what? If you pass Babe Ruth, it's just not going to look good because of all the crap that happened with the team over the years. And I do respect that on a franchise standpoint. They had to get him out of there.
I mean, he's been caught cheating multiple times. He was the best at what he did in terms of cheating because, I mean, so a lot of these guys that got popped for steroids all throughout the years, they weren't very good, Josh. They weren't very good at all, but he was actually better than any of those. And unfortunately, though, he took it and he owned it, and he also lied about it multiple times, and it just seemed like, that gets you in trouble with any.
So here are your best Orioles offensive players from this past week. You had Adam Jones hitting a good batting average, .423, 11 for 26 in 7 games, 1 home run, 2 RBIs. J.J. Hardy, 1 home run, 4 RBIs, hitting .350 in his 7 pass games. Also, Manny Machado going 8 for 25, batting .320, 4 home runs and 11 RBIs. Granted, 3 of them and 7 RBIs came on Sunday's game.
Those are a little bit skewed and weighted. By the way, Manny Machado, is he like a rum chata?
Yeah, my mistake there. Manny Machado, Pedro Alvarez, and Alvarez.
And you got some serious Old Bay behind that O.
You're like
Machado.
Machado.
Oh.
Pedro Alvarez hitting .300, 3 home runs, 4 RBIs. And I do agree with you. Pedro Alvarez is very pivotal in the month of September coming up and the remaining month of August. But going to pitching real quick here, and this is where you kind of feel sorry for some of the top players here. Let's see. Dylan Bundy actually had a good week, having six scoreless innings. Well, six innings with two earned runs. Can't say it's scoreless yet, but nine strikeouts, one walk. You'll take that any time. Kevin Gausman having a 3 ERA. Chris Tillman, 4.5 ERA. I guess the point of it all is this. Orioles offense, do your stars a favor and score more than two runs. They'll thank you at the end of the day.